This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's Caroline and Ezra with you here on the evening edition. Now, these days, almost everyone you speak with is politically savvy, aren't they? If you're not registered to vote, well, you're pretty much committed the biggest sin there is.
Well, you still can. Mm-hmm. Just go to the post office and get yourself sorted out.
That's right. But how many of us actually know what goes on behind the scenes at a polling station?
Right. And of course, our guest today will share with us how, as a group of volunteers, they learn about what goes on behind the scenes on election day and observe that how the electoral process is followed very strictly. With us from Tindak Malaysia, we have Mr. P.Y. Wong and Mr. Anthony Tong. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Very good to have you here with us. Mr. Wong is, of course, the founder of Tindak Malaysia, and Anthony is a senior trainer with Tindak Malaysia.
Yes.
Okay. Can we start with, because this is the term that we hear, the acronym that we hear quite a bit, isn't it? PACABA. PACABA. What exactly does it mean?
PA stands for polling agent. Mm-hmm. CHA stands for counting agent. Mm-hmm. And BA stands for barong agent.
Basically, in political circles, these terms are thrown about quite casually, isn't it, to make sure that each candidate has enough polling agents and counting agents to represent them at the polls. Is that the process?
That's correct. The bar component has been brought into more prominence lately when Tindak Malaysia started training. In the past, not so much attention was given to that, but it is actually the first screening in the electoral process when the voter comes in.
So Tindak Malaysia then provides the training to volunteers. How do you conduct the training?
We conduct trainings in halls provided by the public. Sometimes it could be in the local council. Our regular program every weekend is at MBPJ at Jalan Yong Shuk Ling. Then the churches will host us. Some family homes will host us. Any place that has more than 15 people, we're happy to provide training.
Now, tell us, for those of us who are not very familiar with game day, on election day, the craziness and the nuance that happens at these polling stations, at these counting centres, what role does the polling agent play? In what capacity does the counting agent come in? Can you give us a play-by-play as to what takes place?
Sure. Let's start off at the entrance to the polling district.
Sure.
A school is called a polling district.
Right.
As you enter, you see a white tent. That tent is called a barong. Or in English, we call it a booth.
A booth.
B-O-O-T-H.
Correct.
A booth.
Yeah. Sure.
That is where the streaming of the voters take place. You have a preliminary check to see whether you are a registered voter and you are in the right polling district. If you are not, they will direct you to the correct polling district. If you are in the right polling district, they will verify your IC number to see which polling station or polling center you should be in, which means the classroom.
Right.
The oldest one will go to what we call Saloran 1.
And you have different Salorans for respective age groups, is that right?
Yes. The oldest group will consists of 350 voters. It's fixed, 350. And the rest usually will be in multiples of 700 or less.
And all the polling centres have the same kind of setup? All?
Depend on the size of the polling district.
Right.
For example, in Sarawak, you could have one polling district consisting only of one Saloran with barely 100 voters.
Mm. Right. So it just really depends on the setup of and demographics of each constituency.
Correct.
So now we've gone past the preliminary process. What happens after that? Where does the polling agents, where do they come in?
So the barong agent will be at the booth.
Sure.
To make sure that the process is properly conducted according to the electoral procedures. Once the voter has gone through that screening, he will be given a Saloran slip, a piece of paper, which will indicate the number of the Saloran. Saloran in Malay is for polling station,
sure,
center. That he will go, let's say, a very old one, he go to Saloran 1. Hmm. At the same time, at the top corner, there will be a number. which is known as the bilangan, the voter number, that will tell him where he stands on the electoral roll. This is to guide the clerk inside the polling center to be able to locate him very quickly.
Right. Mm. And Anthony, can you continue that process, in terms of the whole process of actually voting and then the role that polling agents play? I mean, essentially it's to ensure everything is above board and that it's consistent. And this is, you can have possibly up to three to four maybe polling agents a day, because the voting allocated time starts from the morning all the way up to the evening, isn't it?
Yes. Each polling agent is supposed to serve only 2 hours.
Is it a maximum of 2 hours?
Maximum of 2 hours. And of course, if there's not enough polling agents, then he will have to serve more than 2 hours. But basically, it's in 2 hour shift. So take it like example, like a sort of a national service for the country. Once in 4 or 5 years, come in on.
How many polling agents are there per booth?
Well, let's say if you look at a school and there are eight salon runs, eight classrooms, you're looking at two polling agents per classroom, and of course the one of the polling agents will double as a counting agent. Let's say eight classrooms, then there will be 16 polling agents for that school,
right,
plus two barong agents outside, so 18. And then you would have a pachaba head, and then a pachaba assistant. So you should have about 20 volunteers per school.
It's like a party almost.
Does it not matter how many candidates there are?
Well, but this is the thing. Each, correct me if I'm wrong, basically for each candidate that's contesting in that particular ballot, you have a pacha representing each candidate. Is that
how
it works?
That's right. Each candidate can actually appoint their own polling agent and counting agent.
There wouldn't be an independent a polling agent or a counting agent. Basically, these polling agents and counting agents come from the respective camps of the candidate, yes?
Well, you have to be appointed by the party of the candidate.
Right, sure.
So we as volunteers, we can actually step in and also volunteer our services for such polling agent work.
You're saying that you can be as an independent observer in addition to it, or no?
No. I mean, what I'm saying is you need not be a member of a political party.
Right. Mm.
You can be a member of civil society, a non-political member, and you can actually volunteer yourself for service for that day.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll pick up in a little bit. We're talking about election observers here on the Evening Edition. If you have any questions that you'd like to pose to the gentleman, what you can do is text us 016-201-9000. You can tweet us as well at BFM Radio. Any questions about the election process, keep it here. ZZ Top after this, BFM 89.9.
What do the following names have?
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's Caroline and Ezra with you here on the Evening Edition. Election observers is what we're discussing this evening. With us are the folks from Tindak Malaysia. We have P.Y. Wong as well as Anthony, who are here to talk to us about it. Now, perhaps you can elaborate on the whole polling process. Break it down for us.
Yeah, if you think of it as a paper flow, then it is actually quite a simple process to visualize. Take the first segment before 8 a.m. The presiding officer receives a batch of ballot paper. Treat it as an inventory. Then you require to check the inventory, quality and quantity. Secondly, once that is checked, you're satisfied with it, you prepare a statement, an opening statement of account in Form 13. From 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., that's the normal polling process. Hmm. And that is the time when the paper flows from the Kerani who issues the paper to the voter, who then marks it at the ballot booth, and finally he drops it in the ballot box. Hmm. That cycle is repeated continuously until 5 p.m. At 5 p.m., the poll closes. You have to account for the ballot paper that is issued. Mm-hmm. Again, it is an inventory control. Okay. After you accounted for that paper, you have to prepare a statement of closing account to indicate how much ballots have been issued. Theoretically, the ballot paper that has been issued from this accounting of the ballot books should be the same number that appears in the ballot box. In theory, that's how it should be.
Why are you stressing on the phrase in theory?
Well, in practice.
Well, because you know, if polling practices were as simple as in the description of a paper flow business model, we would be having free and fair elections all the time.
Right.
Yes. Well, in practice, there's many a slip betwixt the cup and the lid.
Right.
Therefore, funny things happen.
Okay.
Then, after 5 p.m., the books are closed. The polling agent hands over his duties and the Form 13, the statement of closing account, to the counting agent. And that's when the counting agent takes over and he starts the process of accounting for the ballot paper, counting for it, assigning it to the various candidates, and finally, there is a statement of ballot count.
But the counting process that takes place at the polling stations, it is the representative from SPR that is actually counting with the counting agents observing the process, or is it the actual counting agents that are counting them?
The counting is conducted by the clerks, SPR clerk,
right,
under the supervision of the presiding officer with the counting agents as observers. And they are there to protect the interests of the candidates. So, in sum, those three elements are the voting process.
Okay.
We'll pick up in just a little bit. In the meantime, we've got BFM News updates lined up. Katie Tunstall to take us there. Hold on. BFM 89.9.
We're on when you're off. Evening edition on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
And I'm Ezra Zaid.
We're talking with election observers. With us, the folks from Tindak Malaysia, we have Mr. Wong Piang Yao, as well as Anthony Tong with us. So let's talk about training a little bit. This is what Tindak Malaysia basically does. Anthony, why don't you tell us a little bit about the training that Tindak Malaysia conducts? Why is it important?
Yes, let me just tell you my first time I attended PY's training.
Right.
That was sometime back in August last year. And when that time, those trainings were just purely 6 hours of video. You sit down, and of course, PY, being the good teacher that he is, he will interject with comments here and there. But it was a long 6 hours, you know. And then, if you're not very careful, you probably fall asleep in the first hour.
Oh dear.
But of course, since then, our training materials have changed somewhat. Now we use a lot of PowerPoints, colored PowerPoints, and a bit of video still, but most importantly, we also incorporate a role-playing model inside.
Role-playing, that's interesting.
So what we do is, role-playing is very effective, where we will simulate the barong, the booth, and the classroom, and of course, the setup for the counting agent after that. So we actually have tables, and we have electoral rolls, and we got ruler and pencil, and we got people to role-play each kind of agent. And in the classroom, we have the KTM, the presiding officer, and then we have the SPR clerks and the polling agents. So we actually simulate a voter coming into classroom, and then how he goes from the first clerk, SPR clerk, to the second and third clerk. And then,
so there'll be no surprises on the day.
Exactly. Yeah. So when they do role play, they actually do enjoy, because they actually see how it's going to be done on the actual polling day. And this role play is certainly very, very effective. And we have props, everything, we got props for everything, almost everything.
And through that role-playing as well, and with some of the instances and occurrences and the discrepancies that occur on election day,
yes,
you can almost interject that into that simulation so that you have a sense of how these polling agents and counting agents will be dealing with
it. Is that part of the training?
Yes, indeed it is.
Wow.
What we would teach them first is, this is the ideal situation, a voter will come in, and then all it works out well, come in the IC and everything, and things smoothly goes through, and you drop the ballot paper in the ballot box. Of course, we also train the participants to watch out for those irregularities, and those are the things that make people think about what can really go wrong on polling day, and be a watchful agent on that day. And so in that sense, role play really helps a lot, because people have a lot of fun. And sometimes PY say, hey, you cannot have too much fun, otherwise you miss the issue of a training.
Perhaps you can just elaborate a little bit what can go wrong. I mean, when you act out these scenarios, you know, perhaps one of the scenarios that you go through that isn't the normal.
We like to always talk about phantom voters coming in, and how do you detect a voter that shouldn't be there, in fact. So by the way they talk or the IC, the number of the IC, and sometimes the features, you know, the face.
It's quite a meticulous process, isn't it? Because
you
have thousands of voters coming in through these polling stations, and you have to be wary of so many elements apart from checking on all their details. Yeah. Because a voter who came in at 9 o'clock in the morning could suddenly reappear at about 4:30.
Right.
And you know, suddenly, hey, hang on, you've already been here. What's going on? So you've always got to be on your toes, don't you?
Right. That's right.
Considering that also the polling agents would have swapped shifts by then as well.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, then how would you deal with something like that? Say it's a 2-hour shift.
Yes.
Somebody comes in the morning and then comes again in the evening. It's a different agent. How do you look out for it?
Yes, that is certainly a possibility of somebody coming in a different shift hour. But I mean, you think about it, if somebody wants to come back again, they probably won't come back to the same school anyway.
Oh, they would.
They will go to another school and cast another vote.
And using a different identification.
Yes, exactly.
So what? I mean, what can be put in place?
Well, I think that recently the government just mentioned that they're going to introduce indelible ink.
Yes.
And so that really helped to eliminate impersonation.
Right.
PY, what are your thoughts on the indelible ink integrated into the polling process?
The indelible ink is a step forward. It prevents double voting, provided the indelible ink is really indelible ink. That is an issue that has been raised quite a number of times.
In terms that the indelible ink could be washed off within X amount of hours, and that would still be within the time frame or duration where you can vote again.
Yes, something like that. Basically, we are talking about silver nitrate as a chemical. That is not so easy to remove. So if the SPR were to call for quotations now, get a panel of say 5 to 7 pre-approved suppliers, then you may not land up with a situation where last minute you're forced to accept only one quotation with a sky-high price. Those are basic things that we would expect the SPR to take care of.
Well, your jobs and your duties rather seem to be evolving as well. Many things to look out for.
Not really. The thing is, if you look at the electoral process, basically a polling agent in the polling center is a sitting duck. He's stuck with whatever rules that has been drafted. What we have done is that to go behind the rules to study the electoral laws, and we are right now having a team of lawyers drafting proposals to changes in the procedures and the laws and regulations that go along with it.
What type of changes?
On the 6th of this month, just only a few days from now, we will be presenting it officially to the Parliamentary Select Committee.
All right, so you won't be able to share the type?
Oh, yeah, sure. Now, you have two documents, the Constitution, the electoral laws and regulations. The Constitution will require a 2/3 parliamentary majority to change. That will take a little bit more time, but we are also looking at that.
Right.
There are very major weaknesses in that. We expect to unequal boundary sizes, where you have Putrajaya have only 6,600 voters and Kapa 112,000 voters.
Right. It's the issue of gerrymandering.
Those are called malapportionment, not gerrymandering. So there are a few terms involved. Mm. It's a little bit technical, but different seat size is malapportionment.
Right
now, we have a team of people working on Selangor, redistributing the voter size to keep it within a band of plus or minus 11%. Originally, the Constitution in 1957 provided for a band of plus or minus 15%.
It's been revised since, hasn't it?
In 1962, that limit was removed. In 1972, another limit was removed. Today, the sky is the limit.
So, I mean, that's where you get the disproportionate constituencies that we have currently.
Well, to give an example, you can throw 17 Putrajayas into Kapa.
Sure. Mm. Okay. And, you know, a lot of, you know, what is the response of those who have had the benefit of this training? Are they more excited about the whole process? Do they tend to be more skeptical?
Perhaps Anthony can share his experience.
Yes. Well, when I first came on board and did that Malaysia back in August, I thought it was something that I could do within my ability as a Malaysian, and I think there are also many people out there that have the same idea, something I want to do for the country, but what can I do? So when I first set in PY's training, then I came for second time and third time, and I felt this is something I can do after all, you know.
Right.
And then PY said, looking for trainers, this is something I can do too. Yeah. And then for 10 years I've been a Toastmaster, so that really helped in public speaking and training. Yeah. So, I mean, up to now, I'm still quite amazed by the amount of information that PY has. Someone that you can actually emulate and follow.
Can you share with us some of the on the ground experiences? Have you been involved in recent by elections or general elections that have given you the know how and the knowledge and the experience?
I've been involved in 3 general elections and maybe 10 by elections. During the process, we learn a lot of things. Every election is a new experience. From there, we realized that actually this is something that civil society needs. Civil society needs to get involved in the electoral process instead of being a bystander. Because elections involves our whole lives.
How many members or trainers does Tindak Malaysia currently have?
Currently, we have less than 50.
Right.
And we need a lot more because nationwide, the number of polling agents we need just for one side of the contest is about 165,000.
Long way to go.
Long way to go.
Okay, we'll be right back here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. Caroline and Ezra with you on the Evening Edition, talking about election observers. With us, the folks from Tindak Malaysia, P.Y. Wong, as well as Anthony.
Anthony, can you give us an idea, you know, what are some of the criteria of, you know, being a qualified Pachaba?
Well, I think to be a qualified Pachaba, at the end of the day, what you really need is the passion for doing something for the country. I think that will actually drive you in that direction. I think what we have seen in the past few months of training is that there are many people that come on board for our training. Most of these are basically people from civil society, and they come on and then we train them, and then they actually catch what we train them on, and then they want to volunteer to be a Pachaba. Yeah.
And of course, can you give us a scenario, either of you, in terms of what happens when a discrepancy happens? What happens when you've caught a phantom voter? What happens when the counting of ballots don't match up from the polling station to the counting center? I mean, can you share with us some insight towards that?
Well, if you do catch a phantom voter, I think there are certain guidelines that we follow that we actually pass him or her on to the Ketua Pacha, and they have always a legal team to take the person out to the police station to make a report.
And what role does the SPR play in that sort of scenario?
The SPR is there just to ensure that election is done smoothly on that day.
But do they play a passive or an active role when discrepancies happen?
They're more of a passive role type, huh? PY?
PY, thoughts?
Basically, you have one presiding officer and 3 clerks. Their priority is to complete the elections.
Yeah,
therefore, if you have a dubious voter, they'll just hand it to the policeman and let the policeman take care of it. And they'll just carry on with the election because they have to finish by 5 o'clock. That will be their top priority.
And because from what I understand is that, I guess the more knowledgeable the Pachabas are, with all the laws and regulations in place, the more likely that they are to contest any discrepancy or case of fraud that they see. And does the SPR officer step in and make the final is he the final arbiter of any discrepancy, or is that just a scenario in which it's just handed over to the police again?
Currently, within the polling station, according to the regulations, his word is final.
Okay.
His decision is final.
The SPR officer?
Yes, the presiding officer.
Right.
All right. Can you tell us whether or not there are other countries, with people who have similar roles to Pachabas?
Sorry?
Are there other countries?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Every country has similar structure.
Yeah. And the guidelines, are they similar as well? Or is there some sort of international guideline that you adhere to, perhaps?
Currently, the International Standards Organization are drafting an ISO. It's called ISO CD 17582 for electoral system. It is being drafted at this moment. Their program is to complete it and issue by September 2013.
And now, there's been this huge debate about electoral reform and the whole idea of fair and free elections. If you had, a bit of a wish list in ways how you could improve the polling process, what would you like to see happen? I know some of it would be stating the obvious, but I'm sure some of the small little changes would mean a whole lot towards the system.
Currently, in hand, we have about 80 proposals. 70 to 80 proposals on how to improve the system.
That's a long wish list.
Yes. It's not a wish list.
I don't know if Santa can even handle a 70 to 80.
He can. Santa can handle everything.
It's not a wish list. It's a list. It's a demand list. We are telling them we want this done.
Right.
And can you share some of those proposals?
Let me talk in terms of systems, which will be easier to visualize because the numbers are too big to elaborate. For example, the first thing we want to look for is that the participants in the electoral process must be neutral. Mm. Then the question that you may want to ask is, the returning officer and the presiding officers are selected from the government service. Are they neutral? So that's the first question
right. That
you ask. And from that point, we say, no, there is a conflict of interest. Therefore, we have drafted proposals to say that these people, returning officers and presiding officer, should be drawn from civil society, like the Bar Council, institutional engineers,
yes,
chartered accountants, people who are professionals, who can understand the laws, and who can be seen to be neutral. This is the key thing.
Well, okay. It's a thankless task to be
indeed
involved in this whole thing.
It is indeed. One last question, though. How do volunteers find you? Because now we've put a shout out to ask, to say that you don't have close to as many people as you need. So how do people find you?
Well, if you ask me, I think you'll get a biased answer. I would suggest you ask Anthony.
Yes, you can log into our website at tin.malaysia.com. And also, I believe we have our website, advertisement on, is it on the Malaysia Kini now?
Okay, yeah, I got it. Yeah. Your question is how do people locate us? I thought you said find us in how do they access us? I misunderstood that. Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
Now, there are a few areas where you can locate us. There is a banner in Malaysia Kini. There is a banner in the Malaysia Chronicle. There is a banner in tindakmalaysia.com. Eventually, all leads to a calendar that we call Pachaba Training.
Okay. All right. I think that's close enough. Yeah. Just Google it. That's the way to go. Tindak Malaysia.
That's right.
All right. On that note, gentlemen, thank you very much for sharing with us what it is you do. And, we hope you get many more volunteers. Yes, good luck with the elections as and when they come along. Coming up, we've got a Thank Friday. It's football.
With Ross
Yusuf, that's right. After the news at 7:30, and also a special lineup.
After the football program at 8:30 p.m. After the news, BFM bootlegs the Foo Fighters. If you're thinking what would have happened in Singapore, just tune in after the news at 8:30 p.m.
Keep it here. BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.